wanted to share with us this morning, first of all, the great irony of Christmas. I always find Christmas a fascinating thing. Of course, the majority of the religious world, the Christian religious world, obviously not other religions in the world, but of the Christian religious world, they consider Christmas to be a celebration of Christ's birth. So I want us to think about this concept for just a minute. Imagine you went to a child's birthday party, and you gave all of the other parents there a gift, and the children all gave the parents gifts, and the children all gave each other gifts, but nobody gave the birthday boy or girl anything. Wouldn't that seem a little odd? That's kind of the way I see the things surrounding Christmas going. We have these people talking about how, you know, we're celebrating Jesus' birth, and they spend hundreds or thousands of dollars buying each other presents. And sometimes go to church that one time a year, or maybe go to church that special time because it's Christmas time. But then I've seen other churches that actually canceled their worship if Christmas fell on a Sunday. I think that's kind of, you're going to celebrate Jesus by not worshiping Him that day. Yeah, that's kind of an odd thing. But then others, you know, they will skip out on church to go celebrate Christmas. I think that's a little ironic, don't you? It's a little odd. So I want us to think about this morning a little bit. Christmas is an exciting time. It's gift-giving, there's celebrating, there's time with family, and we've already been enjoying some of that with the various different things that have been happening for the weeks leading up to Christmas Day. But have you thought about what you're giving Jesus? What are we giving Jesus? Well, in order to decide what we're giving Jesus, let's ask, what does Jesus want for Christmas? The wise men brought Him gold and frankincense and myrrh in the scripture that we read. We saw that as they came, and Herod wanted to know, hey, about this child and the star that you're talking about that you want to go see. What's going on with that? And so he sends them off to Bethlehem. That's the town where they're going to find him. He said, you go make the search, and then when you find him, you come tell me, because I want to come worship Him too. Now, of course, we know, because we've read the rest of the story, that Herod wasn't a bit interested in worshiping Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus. But so after they had heard that, they went and they looked for Jesus, and they found Jesus, that star. This wasn't just a normal star. Stars don't come and lead you to a house. It'd be nice sometimes if they did, but they don't work that way. But they come to the house, they find the place where He is, and it leads them till they came, and there's the place. And this little star is there, and they come into the house, they see Jesus with Mary, they fall down and they worship Him. That's a good start, isn't it? We know that Jesus wants our worship, and He deserves it. We sang the song a while ago, Worthy Art Thou. And certainly Jesus is worthy. Worthy of glory and honor and praise and all that we could give Him. All the worship, He deserves it so much. But then it says, then they opened their treasures and they offered Him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now I don't know if you remember being a small child, but I really wonder how wise these men were. Most children are not real excited about gold and frankincense and myrrh. They knew it was a good gift. I think the mom and dad, Mary and the adopted father, Joseph, might have gotten a little more benefit from the gold and frankincense and myrrh. Of course, frankincense particularly is an oil that's used for healing many times, as well as being a fragrant odor. But it was... these gifts. Gold always comes in handy. I want us to think about these wise men traveled great distances to bring Jesus gifts and to worship Him. How far are we willing to go? What obstacles are we willing to overcome to bring our gifts to Jesus and to worship Him? Not just today, but every day. Not just on Christmas or Easter, but every day of the year. Are we willing to come and fall down before Him and worship Him and bring gifts out of our treasure for Him, knowing that we sang the song a while ago, He talked about how He gave to us, how He brought great gifts to us, knowing the great gifts He brought us, knowing that everything we have is His anyway, what are we willing to give Him? What does He want? So let's consider then a few things that Jesus wants. We look at Jesus' Christmas list, not just His Christmas list, but His list of things He desires from His followers. One thing that Jesus wants is for us to appreciate His gifts. You ever give somebody a gift and they didn't like it and they let you know that they didn't like it? That wasn't what they wanted. That's not real pleasant, is it? You kind of don't want to give them anything next time around, do you? And yet sometimes we're kind of this way with Jesus. We don't appreciate the gifts that He has given. So as we consider appreciating His gifts, we want to first of all notice that we need to thank Him. How often do we thank Him for the gifts that He's brought us? And we sang that song about Him bringing us those gifts, those wonderful gifts that He brought from heaven. He gave His life for us. He brought salvation. He brought so much. Do we thank Him for that? Are we thankful? And not just even for Him, but to others who give us things. Are we people of gratitude? Luke chapter 17 and verses 11 through 19, I think you'll probably recognize the story of those 10 lepers who came to Jesus to be healed. And you probably remember the story. All 10 came and all 10 were healed. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And all 10 took off to go show themselves to the priest that they had been healed, that they were cleansed. But on the way, one of them realized, you know, I should say thank you. And he came back to Jesus and let Jesus know how much he loved and appreciated the gift he'd been given. Verse 15 particularly says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus rebuked the other 9, even though they weren't there, and rebuked the crowd as well. Just, oh hey, you should all be more thankful. And we should, shouldn't we? Can we ever be too grateful, too thankful for the many blessings and gifts that we've received? Jesus has given us so much. And He just wants us to be thankful for those things He's given. There is nothing better, especially you know, when you give gifts to children, for those children to say, oh, I love this. Thank you so much. It's just what I wanted. You don't always get to hear that. You know, sometimes you hear, but I wanted the other one. I didn't want this one. And that's not nearly as much fun. God kind of feels that way about us a lot of times, and I'm sure Jesus feels that way too. It's like, I came and lived and died for you, and then this is the attitude you have toward me? And it's like with these individuals that He had healed, and then they were not interested in coming back to say thank you to Him. But you know, as long as we're appreciating His gifts, we need to make good use of them. I think we've talked before about the idea of getting a gift and then, you know, just putting it in the closet or something. What good is that going to do? You just take the box and stick it in the closet, forget it's there. I've heard people talking about, you know, they've got a gift card and stuck it in the drawer and forgot it was there or something like that. Those gifts aren't being used. They're not benefiting anyone. They're not experiencing the gift as it was intended. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11. Peter writes, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." What do you think about that? God's given us gifts to use them. Jesus brought us gifts so that we could use them. And if we don't, then of what benefit was it for Him to come and bring us those gifts? We need to think about how we're using the gifts that God has given us. There are so many of those gifts, and we need to consider, am I making good use of those gifts that Christ has given me, that He brought for me? When we use them properly, it will make Him happy. But then we need to be sure we don't neglect them or lose them. I remember one time when I was probably about 10 or 11, still kind of immature. My dad, my grandmother rather, gave me a plaque that had my last name, Pasley, on it. And it had a little poem about that name and about how important it was to care about your name and, you know, have a good reputation and those kind of things. And he said all of these nice things about the name on this little plaque. Well, I didn't care anything about a plaque. I got a toy too. I'd rather have the toy. I went and threw that plaque on the floor and threw other stuff around on it. Wound up scratching it all up. I didn't appreciate it. I neglected it. I misused it. I abused it. That gift that was something that someone else thought was quite precious. And I think one of the reasons they thought it was quite precious was at the time, I was the last Pasley in the line, the last male Pasley in the line to pass on that name. And so they thought it was a pretty special name. They thought it was pretty special to remind me of that, I guess, as well. As you know, we often misuse and neglect and abuse and lose some of the gifts that Christ has given us as well. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 4 through 6, the Hebrew writer talks about some people who had tasted of the heavenly gift and they had shared in the Holy Spirit. They tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then had fallen away. And he said, what a tragedy that was. He said, it is impossible to restore them again to repentance. They are crucifying the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. You know, when we disdain the gifts that Christ has given us, after the effort and the sacrifice that He went to give us those gifts, and then we treat them like trash. We treat them like they're worthless to us, like they're not what we wanted. It doesn't just hurt Him. It hurts us as well. But we need to consider, are we appreciating His gifts? Are we thanking Him? Are we making good use of them? And are we refusing to neglect them? Are we being sure that we don't lose them and don't abuse and misuse them? But another thing that Jesus wants is for all to repent. He came to bring salvation so that everyone would repent. Now some might be saying, well, I don't need to repent. Well, there's what you need to repent of, is not needing to repent. We all need to repent of something. We all have things in our lives that should not be there. Now, we may have, that's just a little thing, and these other people got big things. Well, that may be. But the fact remains that Jesus wants us all to repent. God wants us all to repent. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 tells us that God is long-suffering. He's not willing for any to perish, but He wants everyone to come to repentance. We all need to repent. Matthew 9 and verse 13, Jesus, in talking to the Pharisees, says, you need to go learn what this means. I want mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus wants everyone to repent. He wants us to repent, but He wants us to help others know their need for repentance as well. What a gift it is for Jesus when we go and bring others and bring them to come to Him to repent. To turn their lives around and to turn back to Him and give their lives to Him. What a gift it is for Him. And then another thing that Jesus wants is for us to put our priorities in order. Get our priorities right. What are our priorities? What do we put first? What do we count as important? Now, if we had our priorities right, we would appreciate His gifts more. If we're not appreciating His gifts, that's a good sign that our priorities are in the wrong order. We're looking for the wrong things and expecting and hoping for and wanting the wrong things. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 23 and 24, Jesus says about these priorities, even when it comes to worship. We talked about how He wants us to worship Him and we need to worship Him and bring our gifts to Him. But notice what He says in Matthew 5 here. If you come and bring your gift to the altar. Now this, of course, was under the Old Testament law where they were still bringing animal sacrifices to the temple to be sacrificed. But we could say, you know, if you're bringing your offering for the collection, and you're bringing that and you're ready to give that, or maybe even, you know, we're ready to partake of the Lord's Supper and you're ready to do that. We're here to worship, but He says, if you remember that your brother has something against you, in other words, you remember you've wronged somebody, you've sinned against one of your fellow brothers or sisters, and you haven't made it right. He said, you leave that gift there, and you go and make things right, and then come and offer your gift. You see, if we're not right with our fellow man, with our brothers and sisters, we can't offer pure worship to God and it be in the right attitude and spirit and in the way that He will accept it. So He wants us to get our priorities right. It doesn't mean we stop worshiping Him. It means we want to worship Him badly enough that we will get these things right with other people. We'll straighten it out before we come to worship Him, instead of waiting and waiting and waiting. Sometimes we don't do that. Matthew 15, in verses 4 through 6, He talks about though they were supposed to honor their father and mother, but they had gotten around that by saying, oh, you know, Mom, Dad, I know I had that house, or I know I had that land, and I could have sold that and given it to you and helped you in your old age. But you know, I've already promised that to God. It's dedicated to go to God, so I can't help you. And God basically says, don't use me as an excuse not to help your parents the way you're supposed to. And Jesus says, you have made your little tradition and put it in the place of God's command to honor your father and mother. You're not doing right. There are other times he talked to them about the way they would swear in Matthew 23. He said, you know, you'll swear an oath by the altar and you'll say that doesn't mean anything. But if you swear it by the gift that's on it, then that really counts. And they had this bad habit. They're basically saying, you know, I promise I'll do this. Oh, I have my fingers crossed. So they'd swear by the altar and then they'd say, that doesn't count. And so Jesus says, wait a minute here. You're swearing by these things. Which one's more important? The gift that you brought, that you're putting on the altar, or the altar that's making that gift sanctified and holy? Which one's more important? Which one's the one that should count? They had their priorities out of whack. And they did the same thing. They'd swear by one thing or another, and they, you know, whether they swore by the temple or whether they swore by this or that, and they had it all mixed up. They didn't count because they didn't think it should. He said, your priorities are all out of order. You're putting the least important things as though they're the most important as though they're the least important. And we can fall into that trap too, can't we? Especially around this time of year, we can get so wrapped up in the gifts. We can get so wrapped up in buying things and the shopping and we can get so wrapped up in things that, like we talked about earlier, we forget about Jesus. We forget about all about worshiping Him. And even to the point that we can get so wrapped up in the things that we forget the person who gave us the gift. We can forget to be thankful. We can forget to have that love and fellowship with family and friends. Those things, well, some of them will be in the trash before the end of the year. Some of them will last for a few months. A few of them might last a few years. The clothes won't fit until after we go on our diet after New Year's. You know, so, but we forget about what's truly important and we get our priorities out of whack. But Jesus wants us to get our priorities in order. Put first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Those types of things that He speaks of. Then another thing that Jesus wants is for all His followers to be united. Now this is a fascinating one to me because in John 17 and verses 20 through 23, Jesus prayed for you and me. He prayed for us. I know He didn't mention us by name, but He was talking about us. He prayed for all of those who would believe through the apostles' word. Isn't that why we believe? We read what the apostles wrote, and that's why we believe. And He prayed that we would all be one. Now here's the amazing thing. You know, we often say, you know, we talk about God answering prayer. We talk about Jesus, you know, doing things to answer prayer. But this is one prayer that we can help God answer. Jesus prayed for His followers to all be one. And we can play a part in that. We can either be divisive and cause strife and cause turmoil and divide the church and all these things and cause problems. Or we can work on bringing people together and bringing peace and helping the church be unified. It's our choice to do one of those two things. And if we do that latter, we can help God answer the prayer of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't that a great gift? That we can help His prayer be answered that He prayed in John 17 before He died. Now this is, alas, this morning, but certainly not least, and certainly not the end of the list. We don't have time to go through the whole list of all the gifts that we could give to Jesus or the things that He wants from us. But we want to look at one last thing that Jesus wants, and that is for us to sacrifice self. That's so hard for us. We are born naturally selfish. A little baby cries and cries when it wants something. And it doesn't care. That baby doesn't care if it's 2 in the morning or 4 in the morning or midnight. It doesn't. And the baby doesn't care whether you're tired and hungry. If the baby's tired and hungry, we were all like that. And some of us still are, even though it's been 20 or 40 or 60 or 80 years. And we're still just, I don't care about it. I just want what I want, and I want you to get me what I want right now. And we focus on self. The fact of the matter is, a lot of us have an eye problem. Oh, it's not that we can't see, although I do see a lot of us wearing glasses, and probably a lot more are wearing contacts to hide it. But that's not what I'm talking about. We have an eye problem. And because of our eye problem, we can't see anybody else's wants or needs. Because all I'm looking at is what I want and what I need. And that's an eye problem. Jesus wants us to sacrifice self. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. He says there that this is that if we will present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, it's our reasonable service, our reasonable act of worship. It's reasonable for us to give ourselves to God. Sacrifice self. Give our will over to His. Put down ego in favor of what God wants for us and what Jesus came to bring us. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus saw the rich people throwing lots and lots of money into the treasury at the temple. One poor woman just threw in 2 mites, it says, 2 pennies. That's all she had. But He said, she has given more than all the rest of them. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5 also. He talks about the churches of Macedonia and what a blessing it was, because even though they were in a great trial and in deep poverty themselves, they were rich in their liberality of giving. And he says the way they did it was they went beyond their power. They gave more than you would have ever imagined they could have. And they didn't do it because they were rich, because they weren't. They were poor. But he says they didn't do it the way we'd hoped, which was, you know, just give. But he says they first gave themselves to the Lord. If we'll give ourself to God, if we'll turn ourself over to Jesus, first of all, we'll become a better self. If we'll let Jesus mold us into His image. But secondly, it'll be a great gift for Him. And He'll be able to use us then to bring even greater gifts to greater numbers of people as well. But we can't do it when all we're thinking about is me, myself, and I. So as we close out this morning, I just want to ask you, as we're approaching this Christmas season, you've probably, unless you're like me, you've done all of your shopping already. You've got all the presents. I was waiting for tomorrow. Christmas Eve is the best shopping day, right? Because there's nothing left to get. But if you haven't gotten something for Jesus for this year and for the days to come and for the new year to come, what will you give Jesus? What are you going to give Him? If you haven't given Him your life, if you're not a Christian, if you're not one of His followers, if you're not one of those believers that we spoke of that He prayed for them to all be one, if you're not one of them, you can't be one. You can do that today. You can become a child of God. You can become a follower of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been giving yourself over fully to Him. Perhaps you haven't been appreciative of the gifts He gave you. Perhaps you've even lost some of those gifts, thrown them away. The good news is you can come back to Him and He'll give them to you again. He loves us that much. He'll give us those gifts all over again. We can start afresh with Him. He can forgive us of the way that we abused and mistreated the gifts He's given us. And He can accept us back in and replace them. If you're here and you have a need to respond for any reason, please come as we stand and pray.